So the question was asked, how are we to understand God's creation of angels when God himself could really do everything? So why is there a need for angels? So by way of introduction, I'd like to quote what Rav Pesin Zatzal always used to tell us when we'd ask him a question of why. He'd say, I never know why. I'm happy if I know what and when and how. I'm thrilled if I get that far. Why? That's way beyond me. But we can try to get a little bit of insight into what's going on here. The Rambam explains to us that angels are spiritual creatures that God uses to communicate to mankind. The Rambam takes it very far in saying that they'll never take on physical form, that angels are completely spiritual. An angel will never walk into your living room, because angels don't walk, angels don't talk. And any time someone communicated with an angel, it was really his neshama talking to that angel. And the same way a person sees prophecy. And the truth is, we should just take a glance at the Rambam, because that'll get us a better understanding. And maybe after we see the Rambam, we won't have that as much of a question. Let's just get a Rambam. Manda. I have a Rambam here. It's okay. The Rambam does something which is a little bit difficult to understand. The Rambam begins his halachic work, Hilchot Yisodei Torah, the foundations of the Torah, with a discussion of angels and creation. And after telling us that we are to know that there is one God, he created everything, and that is the foundation for all other beliefs within Judaism, so then the Rambam goes on to explain the logical proofs as to God's existence and as to God's not being physical and not taking on physical form or physical space. And then he goes on to speak about angels. And after finishing a large explanation, the Rambam says, okay, now what I've just told you is Maase Merkava, Maase Bereishis. So you ask yourself, and the Rambam says, and no one really understands this, only the top people understand it. So you ask yourself, what was the Rambam thinking? I'm going to open the book of the Rambam and start learning and say, gee, I don't understand this. Now read another halacha. No, this is the Rambam, Mishneh Torah. You read another halacha, and I'm not following this. So after you read one chapter after another, only then does the Rambam reveal to you, yeah, you weren't supposed to understand all that. That was for the top people. So I have two possible understandings as to why the Rambam did this. Either the Rambam took for granted that we'd all be intelligent enough to know that when you learn, you have to skim first. You have to read through, even though you don't understand. Don't get bogged down and say, well, I don't understand this. Okay, I'll get the general picture. I'll read a few more chapters, and I'll see if I get an understanding or not. And that's the understanding I had for many years. That's what I thought the Rambam was assuming, that no one's going to be foolish enough to stop after they don't understand two verses. So read another chapter. Read another chapter. Maybe you'll get clarity. But lately I've been thinking differently. I have trouble with that understanding, because the Rambam usually orders his work in a very logical manner. Things are built one on top of the other. And it's rare for the Rambam to do something like this. The Rambam wouldn't do this. There's a place in the beginning, in the Beis Yosef, where the Beis Yosef quotes a full text, and then he says, I did this for the students so that they learn that when you learn something, you have to see the full text. He said, I purposely quoted the full text here so that students will learn that that's how you're supposed to learn Torah. Okay, fine, that's fine for the Beis Yosef, but the Rambam's style is always to be very orderly and very clear. So the other understanding, which I've been thinking lately, is that maybe the Rambam took for granted that you don't learn this kind of sefer without a Rebbe. You start off with a Rebbe. Those are the two possible answers I have so far. I'm still looking for someone to deal with the question. It's a question that's bothering me for 10 years now. But let's see the Rambam, because I'm saying this by way of introduction, because this section that we're learning now deals with the depths, the secrets of the Torah, which the Rambam himself later says, you're not going to really understand this. This is the secrets of the Torah that only the top scholars get to understand. So we're going to try to understand a little bit, but we have to recognize that we're not going to understand that much. The Rambam says like this. We're holding in Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah, the second chapter, the third paragraph. Kol ma shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'olamo nechlak l'shlusha chalakim. Everything God created can be divided into three types. Mehem bruim shehem mechubarim megolem metzura, vehem nivim nefsadim k'tamid. Some of them are things that were created from substance and given shape, and they exist, and then they pass on from the world, kmo gufot ha'adam, like mankind's body, v'abeiman, the animals, atzmachim, ha'matchot, and plants, and different metals. They all have a lifespan. Umehem bruim shehem mechubarim megolem metzura, v'lenam nishtanim, and some of them are made from a shape and they have substance, but they don't change miguf leguf. They don't undergo change. But their shape and their substance is consistent forever. And they don't change like these. And they are the galgalim, which is the solar systems, and the stars that are within them. And it seems that the Rambam was of the opinion that the system that the stars rotated in had certain substance. Now the Rambam says, "En golmam kishar glamim." They aren't made of physical substance like we think physical substance. There's something there. The Rambam, it seems, views the constellations and the solar system as running on some kind of track. Meaning today, we all were familiar with Newton and the laws of gravity and the pull and the central body that pulls everything in. We don't yet understand completely what causes them to move. We know why they're not shooting off of the orbit, right? That's how we position satellites. Because we make it that they're just in the right place. But what gets something to start moving to get into that position? So there are a lot of theories, but that's not our discussion today. The Rambam is saying that the system that they run on is also made of something. And the Rambam says it's not the same substance like the substances we're familiar with here down on earth, and their shape is not like the shapes that we're familiar with here. And some are created of a shape, but they have no physical substance. And those are the angels. Angels have shape, but no substance. So what's giving them shape? If you have no substance, so what does it mean that they have shape? For angels are not of a body, but rather there are shapes that are separate from one another. How do you have a shape without having anything physical to it? So we have a question, right? We don't understand exactly what the Rambam is talking about. What does it mean when the prophets say that they saw an angel of fire and with wings? That's all speaking in a vision of prophecy, and it's speaking in riddles. Lomar sheino guf. They mean to say it has no body. Veino kaved kegufot akvedim. And it's not heavy like physical things are. Kmo shenemar kashem lokecha esh ochlav veino esh ela mashal. Just as we refer to God as being fiery, we don't mean that God himself is fire. And just as we say God makes his angels spirits, winds, that means they're light. But it doesn't mean they have any physical form. So how are they separated? So the Rambam says that each one has a different level and each one has a different strength, and they all stem from God's strength. So what does it mean, says the Rambam, that each one is on a different level? It doesn't mean they're sitting in an order, but it means, like when we speak about two sages, that one is more elevated than the other. You don't mean physically. You mean the spiritual level. One is on a higher level than the other. So too angels. Are we getting confused yet?
I'm not confused. I'm just not sure.
Where are we headed? Yeah. Okay. So the Rambam says that we have 10 levels of angels. The highest level is the Chayot. And they're directly under God's throne. And after that we have the other levels which the Rambam enumerates. Now, these levels, says the Rambam, are levels of the angels attaining an understanding of what God is. Moshe Rabbeinu asked God, explain to me, what are you? I want to have a clarity of understanding, so I'll recognize you. Hareini nat kevodecha. And God says, mankind cannot attain beyond what you're going to attain. There's a limit. An angel can. So the first thing we see from the Rambam is that angels are beings that have no physical body and attain a perception of God.
So they can think.
So they can think.
Understand.
They can understand.
On
yeah.
Their own without.
Right. The next thing we see is that they are the ones that appear to mankind. And what we might be able to say is that, so to speak, it's beneath God's dignity to appear directly to mankind. So God created lower revelations of himself, which are called angels, that perceive him, and they are what appear to mankind. That's on the first level what we could say about angels. Now we're out of time.
Yeah, isn't it metaphysical truth that he can't reveal himself to us? Because if he would, that would be one, he'd get our free will. If he's gonna reveal himself to us, that means that we're not alone to perceive him. And if we perceive him, where's our free will? If we say that's it, boom, our free will is done. Yeah.
But he also revealed himself to us in the Sinai.
That revelation was a revelation of prophecy. That means that what we saw then was some level of seeing a representation of God, but not God himself.
But yet he revealed ourselves. He revealed himself to us, and yet we still sin bad, even worse.
Ah, okay, so...
I mean, so we still had free will, even.
We had free will, for sure. We still have free will.
So we saw his
we saw a revelation that made it clear that he's running the world.
Oh, he didn't like...
No man may see me in love.
Right, but yeah, I understand that, but yet the Torah says that he revealed himself to us.
The Torah also says God.
Face to face with the
where does it say? Where does it say that?
Panim.
No.
Into the face of Hashem.
No, not into the face. Got yeah, turned around.
I think this Parshas mentions something in
it says about Moshe Rabbeinu. Pel pe adaber bo.
No, I let them see my glory in it. They're still sitting in it. I think he mentions like
saying I'm trying to remember
coming they said even after like the spies, you know, and they said even after I revealed them myself to them and they still sin.
Here's the thing I'm talking about, like,
so I mean it would seem to say that, I mean, even after he reveals himself to us that we still have free choice to, and the choice we take is
oh that's something else.
That's not a total revelation then, because we say in the beginning the tzimtzum, that's how our free will is created, and that if